Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, we recap the Grand Rapids Junior Chamber Gala and Rising Leaders Awards. Forest Hills Central High School presents Something Rotten on the 19th. We get a preview of that show. The Grand Rapids Women's Chorus presents the premiere of Legacy of Activism, Sincerely Yours, Pauli Murray. And the 17th Annual History Roundtable happens soon. We get a preview of that as well.
Grand Rapids Junior Chamber Gala and Rising Leaders Awards are coming up, so we discuss. The president in the house, Celeste Ross. Good morning to you, Celeste. Celeste, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Shelley. How are you doing this morning?
I'm very excited. It's going to be a great week. Snow or no snow. Brendan Ritter, you, director of operations with the GR Junior Chamber. Hope you're operating well.
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yes. All right, Celeste, I need a 101 of the Grand Rapids Junior Chamber.
Absolutely, Sally. So again, thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to be here this morning. So the Grand Rapids Junior Chamber, also known as JCI Grand Rapids or the Grand Rapids JCs, is a leadership development organization for young professionals in West Michigan. So that means we focus on building confident, capable leaders who want to grow in their careers and make a meaningful impact on the community. So whether someone is in their early ways of their professional journey or launching a business or stepping into a bigger leadership role, we really just create the space for them to stretch, connect, and develop. So really, we're not just a networking group. We're intentionally developing the next generation of leaders, Shelley.
Brendan, how are you? Thank you for that, Celeste. Brendan, how are you related with the Grand Rapids Chamber?
Yeah, so I've been a member for about a year and a half, 2 years on the board for my second term now as director of operations. And really, my main role is to put on this annual gala. It's our signature event. And I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out our other board members. They all played a crucial role in making this event come to life. And it was pretty incredible. We were able to recognize 4 leaders within our community, including Shaq Anthony, Stephanie Lars, J. Levi Alford, and the Grand Rapids Chamber itself.
As you should. Thank you for that. Back to you, Celeste. So you have a Grand Rapids Junior Chamber that's so well represented in leadership. Let's talk about the gala and the award opportunity.
Absolutely. So the gala was, it's our signature event, as Brendan mentioned. It is, we have our Rising Leaders Awards that come from all over West Michigan, just giving them the dedication and the service magnitude of what they're doing in our great community. So giving them a platform to be celebrated for their accomplishments on a larger scale because they're doing so much. We want to be sure to honor that because those are the people we want and have in our organization.
When and where is the event?
So the event was last week Thursday.
Oh, it was last week.
It was. It happened, and we're here celebrating it, and it was a fabulous turnout. Over 100 attendees mm-hmm. and community builders. It was truly amazing.
Tell me more about what makes a rising leader. How did you choose your awardees?
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. This is the first year we actually had awardees that were outside of general members of the Grand Rapids Junior Chamber, so those throughout the community. And we had dozens and dozens of nominations outlining what people were doing, not only with their employer, but throughout the community and the way they're able to leave their mark on West Michigan and make it a better place. So we sifted throughout all of that and landed on 4 incredible people.
Yes. What else are you proud of? What else will the Grand Rapids Junior Chamber be doing this 2026, Celeste?
We have our signature events, our leadership exchanges that happen the second Thursday of every month right at the Grand Rapids Chamber Building. The next one is April 9th at 5:30, where we're having a signature speaker, Al Ingalls, come out to discuss physical performance and mental health in the workplace, especially as we're stepping into spring and out of the gloomy weather months. Mm-hmm. So please feel free to check us out and join us at their earliest convenience.
You promise that weather will change?
I can hope so. I can hope so.
That's right. Talking about all things Rising Leaders Awards, Grand Rapids Junior Successful Chamber Gala, and of course the guests in studio, Celeste Ross and Brendan Ritter. How important, Brendan, is it to have an opportunity to be part of a Grand Rapids Junior Chamber? These didn't exist when I was a junior.
No, it's pretty amazing, especially because there's a lot of networking opportunities for any age professional, but Celeste and I found that there wasn't really an intentional group for young leaders specifically in the manner of developing their leadership skills, whether that's personal or professional. So the last few years have been really heavy in building the content and workshops that we host to be centered around leadership. And we found that it's been incredible. We're gaining a lot of momentum, a lot of new members. So there's definitely a need for it within our community. And we're just excited to help bring that to life for young leaders.
Yes. Add to that, Celeste.
Absolutely. So ways to get involved, really, we have sponsorship opportunities. If you're looking for corporate sponsorships to be able to grow and retain your younger talent, it's crucial right now with what's happening in the world to continue to growing in that professional development space. And then for individual leaders to be able to find the community that they want to grow and thrive in, these are their people. I found my people here. I dedicate a good portion of what my career has been thus far to this organization. So if anyone is looking to grow themselves or find their community, this is the one place you should go, nowhere else.
Yes. What do you look for in your leaders, Celeste Ross?
What do I look for in my leaders? Dedication, passion, and to be able to speak their truth and to say the hard things and not always get back a thank you, right? So being able to speak in the bold conversations, challenge the status quo, and just really be able to create positive change in their community.
And your answer to that, Brendan Ritter?
Authenticity. Life is hard. Life is hard, and no matter what profession you're in, it's challenging. And so being able to be your authentic self, ask for help when you need it, but still get the work done that you're expected is crucial.
Great. What else do we need to know in closing, Brendan?
We'll be planning to do this event again next year. Date is TBD, but we're still shooting for early March. So keep your eyes out for sponsorship opportunities, tickets, and whatnot.
What do you close with, Celeste?
So really, we just want to make sure that if you're feeling the nudge to grow, to lead and stretch to the next level, please continue to connect with us on LinkedIn. Find us at grjuniorchamber.com because Grand Rapids is growing. Our businesses are growing and the community is evolving. So we believe the best investment we can make is in the people. So please reach out to us.
Temp. Fun planning for next year, but you've got a lot to do in between, as they say.
Time to roll up the sleeves.
Grand Rapids Junior Chamber Gala, come and gone. Rising Leaders Awards are here, rising up our future leaders. That would be you, an existing leader, Celeste Roston. Ross and Brendan Ritter. Celeste, see you at the Brilliance Award. You a finalist. Take care.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thanks, Shelley.
And you know what theater means to many of us, including my next guests. Goodness gracious, they are ready to present Something Rotten. It opens this week at, of course, the beautiful Forest Hills Fine Arts Center. Forest Hills Central High School does present such, so I only get the stars, the best. Nick, step up to the plate and say hello.
Hi, my name is Ariella, and a little bit about the show. It's a big, big, wonderful musical about all these different references to other shows, but it kind of follows these two brothers who are trying to find out what the next greatest thing in theater will be. It's set in the Renaissance period, where a large portion of theatrical growth happens, where everything is becoming more beautiful and more grand. It creates an atmosphere of excitement, and it's a really great, funny musical for a lot of different people who would enjoy these references if you catch them.
Nice. Thank you to you, Ariella. What is your last name?
Wildy.
Who are you playing?
I play the role of Portia.
Ooh, nice. Nick, tell us about you and your role.
Yeah, so I play Nick Bottom. He's kind of the one of the leads. He works with his brother Nigel, the younger brother, and they are struggling playwrights who try to kind of figure out, like Ariella said, what the next big thing in theater is going to be. And we stumble upon musicals as kind of our next big thing. And we have a lot of misadventures of trying to figure out what the greatest musical of all time is going to be. And in doing so, we kind of accidentally combine a bunch of great musicals into one not so great musical, and that is... It's a lot of fun putting that on and finding all the references and stuff like that.
Is that when Something's Rotten?
Yes.
I don't want to give that away. Oh, Ellie, talk to me a little bit about you.
Hi, so I'm Ellie, and I have a bit of a few roles in this musical. So I am one of the dance captains, and with that, I am in the dance corps. And with this, I am one of Shakespeare's backup dancers. I am also in Egg. And an omelet. So there's a whole reference to how Hamlet, Shakespeare's great play Hamlet, is misinterpreted as omelet. So there's actually an entire song about dancing eggs and omelets. So I get to be featured in that. And I am also a few different roles as well. I am an astrologer, and I am also a townsperson.
Nice. How do you get in character for an omelet? I'm going to be an omelet, right?
Yes.
There you are. What's your history on stage? I'll stay with you, Ellie.
So this is my second year doing theater. I actually first started it last year with the school's production of Peter Pan. And then this fall, I started doing plays with The Crucible. But I have been dancing for a long time. I've been dancing for 15 years. But I have only recently started doing theater productions last year.
But keep that talent up. What's your history on stage, Ariana?
Well, I haven't been doing theater for very long. This is my second year. Last year, I started with Peter Pan. I did not involve myself in the play at that time, but I have been taking professional vocal training for about 3.5 years, and this will be my second year. I participated in The Crucible, which was a wonderful production, and now this is my third show being Something Rotten.
Yes, The Crucible. That is a good show, isn't it?
Yes. Fantastic show.
But so is Something Rotten. Tell me more about you and your history, Nick.
I have also been doing theater for 2 years. I was in a show when I was a lot younger. I was in the children's choir for Joseph and his amazing colorful coat. And that was kind of the end of my experiences for a while. And then last year, again in Peter Pan, like these two, I did try out, and I was given the role of a lost boy. And after that, I kind of just got sucked in, and here we are.
Yeah, it does tend to do that. Tell me, Nick, a little bit about behind the scenes. You have a pretty cool director, choreographer, and more?
Yes, we have a great team behind us. Jessie Dykstra is our director. She does a great job, always trying to keep morale high, energy high. It's great. We have Gia Monteruso. She is our choreographer, along with the dance captains. And she gives us a lot of wonderful dynamic dances. It's a great time.
How about the rehearsals and balancing, Ariana, with your studies?
I think it gets harder as you go along. You have to balance yourself pretty meticulously, because once we get into the more technical parts where rehearsal isn't just fun and reading scripts and figuring out who's going to go where and what jokes we can keep, it kind of gets to a point where you're like, oh, this is actually going to be something that people see, so we need to take it more seriously. And that's when leveling your academic strength with the fun that you're having on stage becomes kind of meticulous, and it can be very difficult.
Yes. What is Tech Week like this week, Ellie?
So Tech Week this week, we're going till 8:30 at night, so it's definitely hard to balance school as well as theater. I'd say that it honestly, we've had worse in the past few years, but we're all really excited. It's very tiring, but it's also a lot of fun, Tech Week. We all get to stay together and just bond as a team together.
About how many in the cast, Nick? Is it a big cast for this?
There is a pretty decent-sized cast.
Yes, and a pretty cool set.
Yeah, I think we have about 50 people.
So 50? Those are,
yeah, split different ensemble groups and stuff.
That is
so
cool.
It's nice to give a lot of people different opportunities to kind of be in the show.
Yeah.
And the set's looking great. We've had our stage crew has been working on that for a while.
Those are students, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We have a few teachers supervising and stuff, just
all the teachers
for safety. But
yeah, they're there as well.
Mainly
student-led, yes. And obviously on stage as well. So, all right, why come see the show? This is how I end the interview. I'll start with you, Nick.
It's a great show. It's really funny. It was a lot of fun for the whole family. We've put a lot of work into this, and it's a great way to come out and support us and the arts in your community. But honestly, yeah, it's just going to be a great time. There's a lot of fun references and stuff. So if you're a theater person, you'll have a lot of fun. And if you're not a theater person, again, it's just a really funny, lighthearted show that you'll leave feeling excited.
That's nice. We need that now, even if it's Something Rotten. Tell me why come see the show, Ellie.
It's honestly a dance masterpiece. There's a lot of technical aspects and just a lot of performance as well. It's very upbeat, and just there's so much humor in it. And I think, especially if you know just a smidgen about musicals, you'll catch a lot of references. And it's really just, it makes you happy when you catch that kind of stuff. And I just think it's a great way to spend an evening. It gives you something to do and, you know, bring the family along. It's something for the whole family to do and just support your local community.
Wonderful. Back to you, spokesperson Ariana. Why come see the show and how do I get a ticket?
Well, if you look up Something Rotten, Forest Hills Central High, there will be a link that you can buy tickets for the Fine Arts Center. I would say that the reason why people should come out to see the show is because there is something for everyone. There's comedy, there's a little bit of drama, there's romance, there's music, there's references that you'll catch, and it stems from a place of splendor where all of these culminated parts of theater have come together to become one wonderful, spunky show that we have spent so long making fun and wonderful for everyone to come see.
Yes, nice. Thank you all. Nick, you, Ellie, Ariana, on behalf of Something's Rotten, on behalf of your brothers and sisters at Forest Hills Central High School. Break a leg. Have fun opening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
My next guest here sharing their benefits of talent, talents on stage and voice. The Grand Rapids Women's Chorus presents the premiere of Legacy of Activism. Sincerely yours, Pauli Murray. Let's talk to those involved. Save your voices, ladies, but do talk to us. Director Lori Tenenhouse, always a pleasure. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Shelley. Yeah, my name's Lori Tenenhouse. I direct the Grand Rapids Women's Chorus.
As you should. Singer Lindsay Ellis, want to sing a song?
I don't. Good morning, Shelley. Great to see you.
Because you will. I'm glad to see you as well. Oh, Lori, a wonderful talent is applauded to the Grand Rapids Women's Chorus. When do we hear you?
Well, this event is going to be presented on Saturday, March 21st. At Fountain Street Church, and there's a number of things going on this whole week relative to, showcasing the legacy and life of Pauli Murray. In fact, we are premiering this event on Saturday. That's a 10-part dramatic cantata that we'll be doing the Michigan premiere of that piece with soloists and ensemble and 110 women's voices. And in addition, Diatribe will be opening the event with a performance artist doing some spoken word. And we've been partnering with the Diatribe throughout the past few months. They've been doing spoken word workshops at GRCC mm-hmm. for the purpose of talking about Pauli Murray and getting people to know about her activism. And then, of course, we've been working with Cook Arts Center and children have been learning about Pauli Murray. They made a bunch of zines that will be displayed at the tabling event at 6 o'clock at the church this Saturday. And this tabling event, those 18 different community organizations that are committed to social justice and civil rights. And really, this is why we're here. To really uplift the voices of someone in history who, trailblazer, really, of a legal scholar, a civil rights activist, a feminist, the first woman to be ordained as an Episcopal priest, and her name is Pauli Murray.
Very cool. Looks like she's from Durham, North Carolina. I lived there 8 years. Wonder if I ran into her. How long ago has she...
So she was born in 1910, and I'm going to hand it over to
Lindsay,
but first I also want to mention, you said Durham, North Carolina. The Pauli Murray Center is in Durham, North Carolina, and in fact, we partnered with the Woodrick Center at GRCC, and we are bringing in a speaker from the Pauli Murray Center, Calvetta, Washington, who's going to speak at the Woodrick Center Speaker Series on Thursday at noon at the ATC Center, and then that night we'll be doing a documentary showing at Spectrum Theater, My Name is Pauli Murray, with a panel of four educators. I'll let you talk about that, Lindsay.
Great. Well, it really is a week of events. We have a very busy week ahead. Tuesday at the Diatribe, Thursday at GRCC, and Saturday at Fountain Street Church. So it's a full week. And Thursday, let's just talk a little bit about that panel. Calvetta, Washington, from the Pauli Murray Center, will be on campus at GRCC earlier in the day, and then we'll watch this documentary at the Spectrum Theater, and that panel will include experts from around Grand Rapids that we've invited, friends to come and talk about all aspects of Pauli Murray's life. So Pauli Murray was genderqueer. She didn't have a language for that. She was born in 1910 in Durham, North Carolina, and trying to make her way in the world. Her aunt, who adopted her, called her, Polly my boy girl. She was grew up as a tomboy. They agreed that Polly could wear boys' clothes during the week, but always had to wear a dress on Sunday to church. That was their agreement. So after the documentary, we'll have DL from the LGBTQ Center here at Grand Valley really helping us understand what that experience was like for Polly in the early 20th century. We have a legal scholar from the ACLU coming to talk about Polly's legal legacy. We have an Episcopal priest talking about Polly's work in the church. So a diverse group all coming to that panel on Thursday night.
And that exactly is where Thursday night?
At Spectrum Theater.
At Spectrum Theater.
Right on Fountain Street. And nice. All events all week are free to the public. Part of that is that we have these wonderful sponsors. The Wege Foundation has sponsored this event, as well as Varnum and Consumers Credit Union, Michigan Arts and Council.
Yep, many stepping up what to believe in. Yes.
Yeah, I just really want to talk about Polly's legal, all the things she's done for us, and I know you've been talking to me a lot about that as well.
Well, the thing about Polly Murray, well, first, I'm so grateful for this opportunity to learn about Polly Murray. She was not a name I learned in school, but we should know her name. She, as a student at Howard Law School, the only female in her class, she wrote her senior paper really about how the 14th Amendment guaranteed rights that were not upheld under Plessy versus Ferguson. And her senior paper was used to overturn in the Brown versus the Board of Education decision. So as a student there, and then on her master's thesis at Berkeley, she wrote a paper about equal opportunity in employment. And she co-founded the National Organization of Women with Betty Friedan. So she was always looking for the legal arguments to prevent discrimination against people of color in this country, against women in this country, opening up equal opportunity for everyone, for education and for employment, and then to have place in the church as well as an Episcopal priest later in her life.
There also, Lori, will be, voices from the Grand Rapids Women Chorus. Talk to me about that.
Yes. So this cantata was written by Steve Malloy, librettist Kim Hines, and they have created this wonderful musical narrative that takes you through all the styles of periods that Polly Murray lived. So you'll hear ragtime, and then you'll hear some early gospel, you'll hear some Motown, you'll hear some jazz, you'll hear some some blues, and some classical music. It's a great, and we've got some great musicians. We've got Deborah Perry on the bass, Mike Dodge, guitar, Dutcher Snedeker on synth, and Brian David Allen on drums. We've got, of course, our great Phil Pletcher on piano. But as well, we've got Riette Thorns, who's a local performer, actor at Civic Theater and at Circle Theater, as well as Brianna Johnson singing. We've got this great collection of people presenting this music that's just really beautiful as well as hard-hitting. The soloists are also narrators. They tell her story. And they do it in all varieties of styles of music. So it'll be a great experience, I think.
Nice. How do we find out more information? We'll begin with you, Lindsay, on just finding out more information about Reverend Dr. Polly Murray and more.
Well, first, we really want to invite everyone to come early to the concert. We will begin singing at 7:30, but really the event begins at 6 o'clock. Is that right, Lori?
Yes. Yep. Tabling events at 6. And then in the chapel at Fountain Street, we'll have a pre-concert lecture. Ayanna Weekly from, she's a professor at...
Here at GVSU in the Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies Department. She'll be really educating us about the life and legacy of Pauli Murray, and then we'll learn more during the cantata with the soloists, and the narration will really explain Pauli Murray's life. Even if you've never heard of her before, you will leave the evening with a thorough understanding of Pauli Murray's life and legacy.
Nice. How do we find out more information in general, Lori, in closing?
Go to grwc.org, and it'll be on the front page there under events. And that's Grand Rapids Women's Chorus.org, grwc.org.
Grown from 12 singers to at least 110. You do good work. Thank you, Lori and Lindsay. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
Thanks so much. Nice to see you.
Mark your calendar for this Wednesday. It's a wonderful 17th annual local history roundtable, thanks to the Coochie office and their partners. Director of the office, Nora Salas, in the house. Good morning to you, Nora.
Good morning, Shelley.
All right. Crazy in here. I bet it's crazy where you are getting ready for number 17.
Oh, it's always a busy and exciting time getting ready for our annual roundtable this Wednesday.
Nice. What is the role of the Coochie office of local history, first of all?
Well, our office, our mission is to uplift local history, untold local histories, to make sure our diverse local histories are heard, you know, through the generosity of our founder, Paul Coochie, who created the center through his generous donations.
Nice, right here on the campus of Grand Valley. What's the purpose of a history roundtable?
Well, it's to share history of local groups and organizations, and this year we'll have one panel about the history of the Women's Resource Center, starting at 3:30 on Wednesday in the Loosemore Auditorium of the DeVos Building. And then we do have a dinner for registered guests, so please go ahead and register if you want to attend. You can do that at gvsu.edu/local history. If you want, or just look us up online. And then we have a wonderful keynote speaker, Eric Hemingway, speaking. His title is Influencing 1776, and he's going to talk about local indigenous groups, Anishinaabe groups, and their role and how they were impacted by the creation of the United States here in this 250th anniversary year.
Very timely. Does your theme have any significance with Women's History Month?
Well, of course, we are having our panel during Women's History Month, and I want to note for sure that this panel is co-sponsored with the Greater Grand Rapids Women's History Council, who have their own raft of events. You can go to their website and find out about their other Women's History Month events this week.
Yes. Who would you like in your audience, and what's, I guess, the history been? Start with the first.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's open to the public. Anybody who wants to know about how sort of big national changes in our history impacted people locally, I think is welcome to attend. So, you know, bring yourself, your neighbors, friends, whomever.
Are these history roundtables an annual? I mentioned, of course, the 17th annual, always in the March time?
Yes, we usually do have it in March every year. This will be the 17th this year.
And of course,
I did want to mention as well, Shelley, that we are giving, we do have an award we give every year, the Gordon Olson Award at this event.
Oh, he was our historian for a long time.
Yes, for the city of Grand Rapids. Yes. Unfortunately, passed away recently. And we do give an award in his name. And this year, you can come and see the award given to Gina Bivens.
Well deserved.
Yes, absolutely. Long known in the community for doing local history work, helping out other community people interested in their history. And we will be giving that award on Wednesday afternoon.
Nora, how are we doing at keeping local history alive?
Well, I think there is a great level of interest in how things have played out locally, in how the different groups of people who came to this area and those who were always here, meaning the indigenous people, have impacted local history. And also thinking about, you know, I know your last panelists were on sustainability, but thinking about how environmental factors have influenced local history, the geography of our area certainly has been a factor.
Yes. It's Nora Salas with us again on behalf of the Coochie Office of Local History, the annual roundtable event this Wednesday with a panel discussion keynote address. How do students get involved with you and yours?
Oh, you know, we have so many good opportunities for students. And one of the ones that we have beyond the roundtable is we do find internships for local students with local history organizations, museums, libraries, and archives. And of course, all founded by our generous donors. You know, every, you know, $150 to $200 we receive funds 1 week of a student's internship. And this year, we're very happy to have quite a few interns working.
If you could have breakfast with one woman in history, who would that be, good Nora?
Oh, my goodness, Shelley. That is a very difficult question. You know, right now in my women's history class that I teach, we're teaching a book about Sojourner Truth, the famous abolitionist and women's rights activist and organizer and author, of course, you know, lived for a time in Battle Creek, another local history connection. I think that would be fascinating. There's so many. There's so many.
Well, there's a lot of breakfast ahead, so make that note. All right, details one more time for Wednesday, please.
It's this Wednesday, the 18th, starting around 3 p.m. at the Loosemore Auditorium in the DeVos Building in downtown Grand Rapids. And they can find out everything, parking information and such, on our website. They can go to gvsu.edu/local history.
Get involved in your community and your local history. Nora Salas, thank you very much on behalf of this and all your sponsors and more. Take care.